Hello, friends. Welcome back to Let's Dig Into That. Now, I, Jordan, might be unapologetically biased, but I can assure you this will be a treat. Allow me to set a scene. The year 2002, location, freshman dorms at the University of Missouri in Columbia. I had given myself a perm before moving out of my mom's house. The chick next door with the curly hair listened to metal. She wore a choker, had a chain wallet. She was from Cala freaking Rado, my big sunshine dream. We lived on the honors floor, so this girl was undeniably cool. 23 years later, and I am ecstatic, she hasn't shaken me yet. Rachel Francine Steiker is the real deal, a stone-cold bestie. JT and I beckoned her to the couch to talk about the cosmic witchcraftery that is female friendship. We'll discuss how she survived my many hairstyles and questionable choices, from breakups to weddings, from achy boobs to tough conversations. I've watched Steik, that's what I've always called her, flex her multitudes, witnessed her encourage and empower her own feral female forces, ages 5 and 7. The generosity of this woman's loyalty, her patience and wisdom. We should all be so lucky to have a friend as equally devoted to pumping us up as they are to saying it straight. If anyone is going to call me on my shit, it's Steik. I am counting on it. And if she says, I'm fine, don't worry about it, I am already on my way. She's the managing director at CodeLab in Boulder, Colorado, a badass leader in digital production and software management. I'd argue she's a wizard with boundaries, a force of adaptability, and authentic AF. Married to her own non-drinking tattooed dude and the proud mother of two brave and beautiful spirits, her husband asked I not mention the cat, they're like in a whole thing, Rachel Steiker is here to chat about the many facets of friendship and how to invest in your people. Please allow me to welcome my adventure-ready travel wingman, the woman who will sit in the muck with me, the one we are paying in snacks. Lovers and ninjas, it's the one, the only, Steik.
What is going on, everybody? It is JT. I have the amazing privilege of interviewing, of course you know who, but we have a very special guest, and I'm going to let Jordan intro her, but of course I'm here with, she's hydrated, she pees every hour, she can hold it with the best of them, if she has to power, it's Jordan, everybody!
With our special guest, that happened. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel so seen again.
Who are we here with?
We are here with Steik, my moto-loving mamacita. She's pierced and fierce, loyal, royal, and fine as hell. My sun-shielding beach babe. It's my life wife, Rachel.
Oh, thank you for that intro. Yes.
Thank you so much for being here, truly.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I want to know, because you guys have such a unique, amazing friendship that I just get to sort of watch unfold. Tell me about how it started. When you guys met and like, how did you know that this was going to be a friendship that you'd cultivate for your entire life?
Ooh, well,
thank you for being here. I just wanted to say, yeah, I smelled it on her. And so, no, I'm just so glad you're
not
here.
Sure what that means.
But no, I'm curious. Do you remember the moment?
Well, we met in the dorms,
yes.
Freshman year of college, yeah. And so I was...
some years ago.
20-some, yeah, we won't talk about that.
Early 20s. Barely 20 years ago.
Sure. And I was coming from Colorado, moving to Missouri, first time by myself. And then, yeah, met you. I think within the first week, you made your presence known.
I got to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I could see you looked cool. And so I had to feel out like I knew, but it is nice to have that forced hallway vibe.
Yes, living
so
next to each other.
Rach and I each were set up with roommates that we haven't stayed as much in touch with, and then two rock star chicks across the hall, and mm-hmm. became like this instant four pod.
Foursome, yeah.
Yeah, this instant foursome. So, but I just came up to you and was like, hey, want to hang out?
I think we all started naturally just gravitating. There was maybe an MTV Awards, something on TV, then, and we went to our other friend's dorm room and were watching that. And then we had, I think in our first meeting, you asked what my, you know, relationship status was. And I said that I had just broken up with my high school boyfriend. You know, I'm 17, so sad. And you go, how's that going for you?
Okay.
Made her presence known. I get that part.
So if anyone out there is wondering where Let's Dig Into That came from, I think it's my fault. And so, oh my God. Like, I'm a little embarrassed on the, like, yeah, I hope I read it, but that sounds absolutely correct for me to be like, so how's that working out for you, that whole breakup?
Yeah. Like, oh, well, if you're going to ask, then here's all the information. Don't spill it.
So, Jordan, you said she looked cool. I got to hear more about that.
Like, yeah, I wasn't like, she did. Like, Stikes always, I had pierced in your intro. Did you come in? But she had like cool earrings and rock star curly hair, and she dressed like to herself. It wasn't.
I don't think I was used to the humidity in Missouri yet. And so that first couple of weeks, I just was wearing overalls and a sports bra.
And it worked for me. Did you think my pickup, like my intro line was like a pickup line to you?
No,
like,
no.
So how's that working out? Because she is out there. I remember you biking through campus, and I was, she goes by me. I'm like, blazing hoot. Because she is in a jean mini skirt. And I'm like, dude, rein it in. So yeah, we went there quick. But yeah, the humidity did wonders on your hair. But I was not a super, my best friends, like soccer buddies, and I had a few people being from Missouri that came. I was a couple hours away, but I had some safety nets installed, and you seemed like you got along with dudes.
Yeah.
And that was a comfortable area for me. Like, let's go, hang out with the guys and,
Yeah, because I was coming from high school, like not having great high school girlfriends. There were a couple, but I didn't have a really kind girl crew, I would put it that way. And so I was coming in like, ooh, I don't know about girlfriends. So I'm gonna tread lightly. And then our foursome got formed pretty early on, and then we were just, the four of us were inseparable for all 4 years, which was amazing to have that friendship. And so to answer your question, JT, of like when we knew, it just kind of naturally happened because we didn't stray from that foursome very much.
No, we stayed pretty close. They're like random roommate assignment, and we're like, this is some sort of a blood oath that I didn't know that I was. We were like, and we were on the cool honors floor.
So cool.
But it is amazing that the four of us did stay.
Not nerdy at all.
We lived together in different iterations. We studied abroad at similar times in different places and visited. Like, you had a long boyfriend. That's a he long boyfriend. He tall too. Like, what the heck is that? And so, but yeah, we got to be a part of that. Like, you watched me get rid of that high school boyfriend. I wanted to jump on her bandwagon. But yeah, the girl thing was tricky.
Well, and Stike, you mentioned that it's hard to maintain female relationships, and you might not have had a lot of really close ones. What do you think is different about this relationship that made it so much easier to connect as two girls? Was it the vulnerability of being at college? Like, where does that come from?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe just needing to have a group of people to be with. And also, you and the other two women that we were friends with and close with in our foursome, we weren't cutting each other down. We weren't gossiping about each other behind each other's backs. We were just like, we're here for fun. We're here to do college.
We threw a lot of impromptu paloozas.
There
like
were a lot
anything
of parties.
Where it's like, we got to go to the grocery store today. And it's like, grocery palooza.
Shower
like
party.
Shower parties. We would coordinate because there was a.
I definitely want to hear more about that.
It was not as. Yeah. But there was a boombox.
There was a waterproof boombox.
And we had a shower mix that like the CD. And it would be like, yeah, but that
and
does sound funny
like,
as an outsider.
Take a shower shower. Like, you don't need to call it a shower shower. No, you did.
Yeah.
Shower party.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was victim of a couple towel stealing moments. There was some breaking. I cut your hair in that bathroom.
Yes,
I cut your boyfriend's hair in that bathroom.
While someone else gave me a lap dance.
Yes, lap dance hair salon. College was fun.
I went to the wrong school.
You did. You did. College was so fun. But it's true. I love that you pointed that out, that it was. We were, again, on an honors floor. Like, we all were nerds, but we knew how and when, and I love Stike is the friend I refer to often and try to leave her anonymity as being the great boundary holder. She was, we called her the fun hater.
Yeah.
Where
I did hate fun.
Yeah, where we'd be like, she hated fun. And I did not translate well for me. Where I'd be like, I'm driving, I'm paying, you can wear this that I will bring in, you know, just come hang with. Nope.
It's a Tuesday. Guys, I got a lecture tomorrow. I'm sorry.
And it was real quick on when she's an amazing mom in this moment right now, but I saw it then when it would be like, I'm gonna tell you one more time. If you ask me again, I'm closing this bedroom door. And it was perfect. It was never mean, but it was a hard no. And I have so much respect, but I loved that. It was admirable.
Okay.
It was something I chased.
So bond built in college. I'll be honest, with most of my really close friends, that was a big hindrance. Once college was over, I had a hard time keeping up with a lot of folks. How have you maintained this friendship as life continued, as relationships and marriages come into play?
She's been to all those.
Yeah. You stalked me. You followed me.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a Friends episode where Phoebe tried to phase out Monica and it didn't. Monica's still around in his birth. And I'm like, if Stike tried to phase me out, because when I had an opportunity to go, do I want to like stay in Kansas City? Could I like, is California a thing? Or is that just everybody? New York is not my calling, but Colorado was the spot. And I remember making the choice and then begging Rach to be like, will you please be my roommate till I figure shit out? And so it was awesome to have that kind of soft landing, because I had my first big, you had it like going into college, where I was like, I'm out. I'm new here. I've got a map. Something that was still like MapQuest time. I'm just saying. I was so brave. Right. I was so brave to come out here. But it was, I give you endless credit on the maintenance, because it is having a friend and maintaining a friendship, very different things. And we had an interesting chat earlier about the difference in community versus friendship too. Because like, I can secretly get jelly over her like tight mom buds that she's hanging out in Boulder drinking chai lattes with.
What?
Chai, it's all in your head. It's all in your head.
You know those chai lattes, but I am so grateful, because in my mind I've translated it as she has such exceptional community, because I am not the feet on the ground, because it was really hard, like the move away. Like, she's the one reason. And I take trips back and don't tell anyone else I'm even there. We do this is a 30-hour adventure. Secret adventure trips. And so I'm so sorry for those of you, but I'll plan secrets with them too.
No, I won't.
And what about you, Rachel? Do you think, how has this been, how have you maintained this relationship for such a long time?
I think the living together after college was critical. Just the proximity, like we were nearby, we got to live together for that year post college, which, you know, that's like a hard transition coming out of college. We had our first big girl jobs, and you know, dating and boys and life and stress and more stress, and then, you know, it's a big time for, it's hard in your early 20s when you're trying to figure out what you want to do. I think the entire decade is hard.
Yes.
So then I think being, I don't know, then it was just a natural thing. Like at that point, we were just sisters. And
right. You get to that when you can speak in code. And I do think we have had times and stints where we, you know, it's sad to say, and looking back, I don't remember. I hope you feel the same, but who knows? But like in ill will, we're like, we're in a tiff right now. I'm kind of, you know, just built a wall and we'll see how it comes around. But life, relationships, babies, like things happened, and we have been great about, there's no guilt trip on the comeback, which I so appreciate, because ooh, I've had some tricky friendships where I'm like, if this isn't working for you anymore, you don't have to tell me like so much to my face. Like, I'm okay if you want to just let it go. Where
drift away.
We didn't have any tiptoe gray area where I wasn't coming to you going like, oh my God, do you think she's mad at me? Or, you know, that I have a relationship with you. If I think you're mad at me, I'm calling you first.
Yeah.
And so I didn't take it personally if she, you know, decided to birth humans and not call me. And I'd still say she called me more. So, yeah, you're good people.
I would hope not. Your communication style is interesting to me. Like, it seems like you're very open with each other about things, especially when there's conflict involved. Tell me more about how you guys communicate and how that's helped the relationship sort of last in form.
Well, there's a big communication moment with us where this is the queen of my magical intervention. I drank, like a fish, and then that fish, I drank him. I drank that fish's supply, and then I took him down, and Stike was gorgeously, courageous, because that is an incredibly difficult anytime, and there's a lot of ways it can be received and things, and we had such an established, she knows the words that could break me or make me in an instant and how to get right to my heart. And I just remember that moment of, she goes, can we take a walk? And all the words had already been said. It's like the monologue unfolded in my heart, and I was like, I'm in this. And it wasn't my first one, and that's hard to say too, but that was incredibly, and not, I didn't drive myself to rehab that day either, but within a month I weaned myself. It gave me so much peace. It added to my why, because I was doing it for me, and it was that bravery that had to be super freaking hard.
Yeah, I'm conflict averse, so
yes.
I did not want to have that conversation, which is why, yeah, let's move around while we're talking about this. And it was snowing, and
walking and telling me heavy stuff is a great move.
Mm-hmm.
Calling me out a little bit.
Yes, I'm tapping you. But that was a big one, and I think that, you know, had that, that can end relationships or become.
And I didn't know how that would go, because
drugs are super reasonable normally, and like, and so
but you listened and you're like, I get it, and thank you for telling me. And I didn't know that that's how that would go. I thought there was a chance that you could basically just be like, screw you, you don't know what you're talking about, this conversation's over, or I don't even want to have this conversation and see ya, or, you know, let's change topics, I don't want to listen, but let's just, you know. And instead you did listen and took it under advisement.
Yeah, because when I get embarrassed, I do react angry, because I'm just like, oh shit, ah! And I just retaliate and push back. And it was, and what was great about it is I had like the pre-prepared, because you know this is sort of coming. Like last year, they threw me a surprise party and I was like, holy, is this an intervention? And I didn't know what was wrong, but I'll change.
So I got to know more about that, because, and again, we're all friends here.
Yes.
We haven't said
this
yet.
You're the newest.
Rachel Steiker married us. Mm-hmm. She, other than Cassie Fortman, who took the photos, she was the only other person at our wedding. So we're all friends here. But I have to know more about the motivation. Like, what was going through your head when you were like, I need to talk to Jordan about this?
Yeah, we have never talked about this, really. I don't think.
Go
you
for
and
it.
I
Bring
have,
it on.
Right? I mean, but there was, our friendship went from amazing dorms to post college, and then going through all kinds of stuff with, you know, relationships,
babies,
things.
You were very involved in
my
first marriage.
Yes. And, you know, you helped get me pregnant, which
we'll get to. Yes. I sure did.
That's right. And so, you know, we went through all of that stuff, and then when we would hang out, it was not as smooth. You weren't the same Jordan
repeating
that you had
stuff
been.
Is a bad thing, and yeah.
And just you were off. You weren't, and I also wasn't seeing you drink. So for me, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What is happening? And why aren't we connecting? And why do I feel like something weird is going on? And then talking to my husband, who's just this week, 23 years sober. And
congrats, David.
Yeah. And just kind of explaining what I was experiencing. And he's like, this is
mm-hmm.
what's
Textbook.
Going on. Yeah.
He uh-huh. and I bond over it all the time.
Yeah. And it was hard to digest, and kind of for me, hard to believe, because I wasn't seeing you drink. We would hang out mm-hmm. and you were
very secretive. Like that was
primed.
Yeah.
So it was hard to like reconcile what was going on. But it was. We weren't on the same page. You and I weren't. And it was not, it just wasn't good. And then I came out to visit you here in between things.
Chaos.
And it was, chaos and not cool. And so after that point, it was just like, we were still hanging out when we could, but it felt icky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were having all the conversations that we normally do. What's the next trip we're going to take together? When can we hang out with my kids and do all these things? And those were my two areas where, okay,
yeah.
I can't travel with you. under these circumstances, and my kids are off the table.
That's all it took for me.
Mm-hmm. That was an easy sell. I also knew those were...
Yeah, that's a pretty... That is a straight... That's main vein for me. Exactly. To the heart, but it... Yeah, go ahead.
But I was going to be like... I wasn't... sorry to interrupt, but in that conversation... There was never a moment of, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be part of this friendship. I'm taking a break from the friendship. I'll be here and we can still be friends. But these couple things are not happening until something changes.
And how freaking lucky. Like, I am, there's not a lot of folks that get to say, oh, the person that I experienced this moment with is then later the one that marries me. But you did make sure that I knew that, yes, your solidarity in that. But it breaks my heart. And I am just, there's not a word for the apology of, like, my desire to hang out with you and be present with you, huge. And to know I was in such a dark place that, like, I wasn't even there for that. It's such, So we back. Then I got pregnant.
And I want to get to that last question about sort of the intervention. How has it improved your relationship? Both?
Me stopping drinking was step one. And I love it. Like, this was something, again, that I had talked to her about, like, that I was drinking too much. She knew I was unhappy in my marriage. She knew I, like, there were a lot of, she knew just enough that, but, like, it wasn't a huge.
It takes a lot of vulnerability from both of you guys. And so I just want to know how that impacted your guys' relationship moving forward from that moment. Of both having to, you know, you only do that with the people you care about most.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's such a special moment that I get to witness from the outside. I was the one who dropped Jordan off because she had been drinking that day.
Yeah, we were getting ready to go on a vacation.
Yeah.
And so JT, we were running errands in Boulder, dropped me off, picked me up, and I'm like, get this. And then we flew to Costa Rica and bought vodka.
So I have more articulate words for the question I'm trying to ask. Do you think it was the fact that you guys were willing to be vulnerable that made your relationship survive something that significant?
I don't know. I credit you with a lot of that because, again, like, you could have reacted in a way that was, you know, telling me off and walking away from the conversation. And instead you took it to heart and... You're right that
I never loved you more than I did in that moment. That was such an outpouring of love. Like, I felt so lucky. Like, she gives a shit.
Say the shit.
Friend goals, guys. Just saying. But yeah.
All right.
But now, I will say, sorry to, but if you hadn't stopped drinking, then I don't know how our friendship would have, you know, I don't think the intervention moment was one thing, but you actually. Becoming sober was a whole other. I had said to Schiff, you know, 400 times after you became sober that, like, I have Jordan back. I have my friend back, my best friend, the Imagine. Person that, you know, I missed you a lot. And
that's so sweet.
You know, that's.
You didn't deserve that time, but holy man, am I grateful. Yeah. But yeah, that was like when we got in the car, it was a moment where we held hands and talked about it. And now we both don't drink. Yeah. So you're the only drinker among us with your honey included.
Well done, ladies. Now I got to know about my wife getting another woman pregnant. Tell me more about that.
Yes. Oh, such a magical time. So again, I feel like I have to start with the canoe. I'm just because that was a trip pre-babies at a campsite that you guys go back to, right? And so my marriage is falling apart. The four of us are camping. I get Stike alone on a canoe and I decide to tell her. And so another vulnerable moment. And so she's there for me. And then we fast forward and we're like, we are going to harness this. Don't waste the suffering is what we're going to do. And so she is the moto rider among us and sees this amazing all chicks babes ride out tour.
All women's motorcycle rally in Joshua Tree.
And so my parents flew to the Vatican. She didn't tell hers. That's how it went down. And then, and then we take off for Joshua Tree. It was truly one of the most magnificent weekends, but we timed it up just so perfectly with IVF.
Yeah.
Do you want to take it from here?
So this, you know, an organized rally, we didn't just pick a random weekend. I think there were a few hundred women on motorcycles at this.
If you can go. Yeah. It's awesome.
Incredible. So yeah, we rented a big motorcycle. Jordan was on the back. I rode, but it just so happened to be the same weekend that my IVF shots were starting. And so I packed an ice pack with the medication and brought everything. And we flew to Joshua Tree, flew to Palm Springs, put it in the saddlebags, this pack of, syringes and whatnot. And we're riding around Joshua Tree on a motorcycle with these IVF meds in the saddlebag on ice. And then had the timer because, you have to take the shots at a specific time.
Yeah, this is day one. She had done her morning shot. And so we both have alarms set. We are ready for shot number two.
Yeah, but partying at the, cool chicks on, I think there was a mechanical bull and a cover band.
Yeah, and tattoos and everything. It was
amazing.
Exactly what you'd want it to be.
And then we're hanging out with a couple cool other cool chicks, and we're like, oh, timer, we gotta go. Ran to the parking lot, the dirt lot.
We jogged through the desert. to find our nondescript, beautiful bike.
In the dark.
Vintage Indian. In the dark. So, keep on going. I'm sorry. I get too excited.
Then we get the giggles. So, we're trying to get the syringe and get the medication to the perfect amount.
With a flashlight from your phone.
Yeah. We're dirty. Our hands weren't washed.
She got Cheeto fingers.
Cheeto fingers. And
giggling nonstop. Giggle fast. Like, this can't be right. Yeah. Like, I feel like somebody's watching and, disapproving. And so, the giggles continue. And I'm like, we're going to do this. And then here comes crank call. Bad word. I'm like, there's a fucking armadillo. To try to get her to calm down, there is no armadillo. And then I just say, I'm gonna get you pregnant, and jam this syringe in the darkness of Joshua Tree National Park. And and then we're done.
Where?
In my stomach.
Yeah, right. Okay. On the side stomach. I know exactly. I'm like,
I didn't have to pull down pants or anything.
No,
like
pants were down. And so we're catching our breath because we're beside ourselves. And these ladies off to the side.
They were right next to us the whole time out there at their motorcycle. And didn't realize they were watching the entire thing go down.
They got a glimpse of our relationship I'm not sure anyone was prepared to see. Because I was so loud, because that's how I calm others. And so I'm just like, we got this, you're good. And it was, oh my God. So she has two beautiful daughters. Yes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those characters?
Yeah, they're mischief makers. They're mischief makers and amazing and silly and all the things that little kids should be. But yeah, you helped bring them into the world.
I sure did. I love those curly-headed weirdos so very much. And I can't wait, because please promise me here on this pod that we will travel like we do. Because my mom has schlepped Stike and I around, because we happen to be what time's that leave? Yeah, we can be there. I can pack for that. And so the day that we get to pack up her two girls and... Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to eavesdrop a little bit on those conversations.
So we've got Jordan, child-free by choice. Rachel's got 5 and 7 little girls.
Not 5 and 7 little girls. She's got two little girls.
One's 5, 1's 7. Uh-huh. How has that impacted your relationship? Having different viewpoints moving forward?
It's only been positive.
It has been amazing to watch.
Because you love other people's kids.
I do.
Some people are child-free by choice and really can't stand other people's kids.
I very much empathize for those that are like, yeah, it's going to have an impact on, like, how many times have we shared a phone call, which I'm so grateful you have the time to pick up. But when it's like, okay, I'm cooking dinner, I'm going to put you on speaker, or we use the platform Marco Polo has been a game changer, because it is really nice when you don't have to coordinate the full FaceTime and half face each.
I've got 7 minutes. I'm about to pick up the kids, but here we go. Let's have a quick catch up. Yeah, in and between
so,
things.
Talk about me feeling important and loved and valued, but it has been so cool to watch, like to see what they're learning and their little interests too, and to watch how I don't have the patience. Being with this beautiful familial, we've stayed at their house, and I'm like, how do these people do it? We should have your honey back for one, because his kids are 5 and 7 and
31 and 28.
So he has a 31-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so he's got stories. Yeah. 23 years off the sauce, too. That man can tell some tales.
Great transition for me, because my next question is pretty simple. How do you see this relationship evolving?
Ooh.
And when you have Mr. David Schiff, who's a little bit older,
yeah,
has kids that are grown. Like, what do you see for the back half of your guys' friendship?
Did you see how I just cut you out of the mic as I did? You're telling me about? Did you see the body language? I was just like, our future is bright.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, JT, we've been meaning to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
So the future for Steik and I involves a lot of you. So, yeah, but I do see you being a huge part of my day-to-day life in my later years. Mm-hmm.
I have dreams of us living together again. I don't know where you are, JT, in this scenario. Yeah.
Out the van.
Or Schiff, yeah. But yeah, the husband's not sure. But I feel like there are going to be, you know, dance parties in our future. Or, you know, when I think I sent you a thing recently, I heard about two women who they were 80 years old and decided to do a 80 days around the world trip.
Yeah.
And first thing, sent it to you. That's going to be us one day. You know, when we're 80 or we're like rocking the retirement home together, you know, that's where we're headed.
I do see it being I love the travel mindset for the future too. I think a good snapshot of how we've evolved is us getting ready to go out and dancing so hard that we would be pouring sweat. I remember waking up with like a fake eyelash, not a thing I do, like stuck to my face. And most recently, we talked about getting ready to go to an event. When we were in Palm Desert, we were back. We have apparently a thing for California. It was an awesome drag show. And we were like, that sounds amazing. Ooh, doors at 10. What if we just got ready and stayed here? And that's and that's what we did. And we put on killer music and we had a little in the hotel room dance party and did not go out. Wow. And talked about all the things.
Yeah, yep. That sounds about right. Mm-hmm.
I like, JT had this question, but I want to ask, do you have any secrets?
Are you keeping anything from me?
I saw your face when he asked that.
Yeah, no, that's a serious question. I want to know if, like, more specifically, is there anything that you guys don't feel comfortable sharing with each other?
It's for me, the absolute opposite, where like, okay, a thing is going down. Either I need to vent about something or something funny happened. Like, sext may or may not have gone to our neighborhood instead of
her husband this week sent a very, it was actually pretty cool as far as sex go. It fell right in the sweet spot.
Why are you telling this story? How do you know this already?
Because that's friendship.
Because that's friendship. Guess what just happened?
Yes. And I love Stike's response in the group text is, oh, period, my period, God. And so, yeah, there's not a lot off the table.
No.
I think for me, it's like timing, because I would be the one to overshare. No shock here. And then I'd be like, ooh, this one might scare her away. But she's totally my friend. I'm like, hey, this looks weird. Come check it out. Let me unzip. And she'd be like, oh, Jordan, please don't.
Yeah, I was asking about your crusty toes this morning. So
yeah, yeah. I didn't appreciate that. Pedicure, and they both got me pedicures for my birthday. I did not think I had crusty feet.
That's what you asked for.
That's true. I do love a good spa treatment. But am I a lot of effort, though?
No.
No secrets. I appreciated
no
that.
No secrets. Yeah. But not in a like, oh, there's a rule between us. No secrets ever. It's just you're my person who I'm going to say, I tell you everything, because I know there's not going to be judgment. You're going to be on my side. But also, if there's, you know, if maybe my perspective on something, or you're going to tell it to my face if something's
that's
off
true.
Or you
right.
know, I need to chill for a minute about whatever it may be. You know, there's the no judgment piece, but there's also the, you know, you're going to tell it like it is.
And that's the finesse that I wish we could gift every young person in the friendship moment, is being able to read, because I think we both, you have it. I thought you taught me, but who knows? But when it's like, I just need you to hear this and get on my team, and we are going to rally against these bitches, and like, I just need to vent it up. And I'm also the one that will absolutely not tell you what you want to hear sometimes, yeah. And be like, well, no, that's just Stone Cold crazy. That's crazy. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so I think that is a really nice boundary. And there's no, it take, I would say you are such a beautiful, like going back on the effort side of, I have so much I want to tell you, but it's never obligatory. I don't feel any essence of keeping score. There's not like, oh, I called her 3 times and she's so busy, she hasn't called me back. Screw that. If I got something I need to tell you,
Have there ever been jealousy moments for you guys with other friends that come into life, into your life, or relationships? Or?
Yeah. I'll get a little jealous.
Friendship jealous. I think that's sweet. I know that's why I couldn't have kids, because her knowing other moms, I had to be that one aunt. And so, because it's true.
You found your role.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like funny, like the season of weddings when it's like, oh, that group of friends is coming. And I kind of puff up a little bit. We're like, oh, she did training camp with you guys, but we're out here like real friending now. And so I think there is a little bit of that cattiness in me somewhere.
Yeah, I'm a little competitive.
And you have a sister. And so there's that. And we both like her because she's awesome.
How annoying.
And so, and you know what I call her? Lil Stike. That's what she still is in my phone.
I'm sure she appreciates
that. Does she?
No.
Again, it was better than we had two had the same name. We had two Rachels. And so. Yeah. Jewish Rachel did not stick. She was like, please quit hollering that in the dining hall. And I'm like, I think it's awesome.
Gonna work.
I come from a town, I was loving it. I'm like, Shabbat Shalom, let's do this.
Shabbat
Shalom. My people. But Stike brought the Colorado. I remember our first winter in the snow, and she was out there in the bikini doing the roll in the snow. Drew some attention. And yeah.
I forgot about that.
In Blazing Hoot, yeah. But we've been there through some piercings and surgeries. And yes, you drove the car with the cans tied behind in my first wedding, then watched it fall apart in a canoe. Yeah. And then here we are, non-drinking, and you are the only person with our pig-loving photographer, our sweet Cassie there. And that was it. That's we've had a good run.
Oh, so there's no way this is all sunshine and rainbows. I'm going to put you both on the spot a little bit because I want individual answers.
Oh, no.
What do you think the biggest challenge in your friendship has been?
Jealousy. It's the jealousy. No. I remember meeting your husband for the first time, and Stike stepped away to go to the restroom, and he says to me, he's like, oh, she told me about you guys and the thing, and like she mentioned it, and like, okay. I just mortified, and I'm like, she's talking about me, who she's loved for. And he was just screwing with me. And so we have been so tight ever since. We left that meal friends, but I was like, okay, he's going to keep me on the edge of my seat. But I was rocked because he was like, I'm really glad you guys pulled through, because that was like really upsetting to hear about. And I was like, and you guys have been together, a long time?
Like, now, these days?
Yeah.
How many? Oh. 15
So we've known
years?
Each other a minute.
15 years, yeah.
And he's the same.
Yes.
So that doesn't seem like a challenge. Like, honestly.
So hard times.
It seems like skirting around the question.
I think we know on this podcast, I'm going to fall on the sword a bit. I'm not a great cohabitator. And you mentioned living with me a number of times. How'd that go?
It went well, but I will go back to the, you know, us being in our early 20s, that's a tricky time. That's a tricky time. And so, you know, you had your first job. It was in the wine industry. There were lots of parties. There were boys. There was fun. And you were doing your thing, as you should. A freedom slut. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And then, and I was maybe in a less positive mental state, very stressed about what my life moves were going to be. I was working part-time in a grocery store, working part-time at an unpaid internship, which ended up turning into a job, and all kinds of great things happened coming out of that.
Good plug.
But it was a very stressful time for me, and I was not happy, and I'm, you know, I think you and I that year weren't always on the same page. We weren't doing a lot together. It was still, you know, Stike hates fun, but this time I didn't have any money and I was working 7 days a week and it was stressful and tiring. Do you remember when I was breaking out in hives?
Yeah.
I had hives on my body every day for a year.
From stress?
From stress.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, I feel like
freedom slut, not super compassionate.
But we weren't doing the same. And it was not a bad thing, not a knock on, you know, us as roommates or anything like that. But yeah, it was just like a weird time.
Yeah, yeah. The vibe was off. But it was just like, I wish Stike was up for, like, which was a little, we were, I think, careful-ish with each other. Like, there was a lot of just like respect and stuff, but we had to go through some things, I think, simultaneously.
And I don't think when we did move out of that place, we didn't hang out for a while after that. Like, many months.
Because I had to move in with a boy.
Yeah.
And it was, I was excited-ish. Well,
that's exactly where my mind went. How did you get back on track?
How did we get back on track? I actually don't know. I don't remember. Maybe it was the, you know, eventually I broke up with that college boyfriend and needed a friend to talk to as I was going through that. And
who better
than
old invasive question asker Jordan? But I do think I'm very much known for, I just was telling a story about a mutual friend that I hadn't heard from in a while, that if somebody kind of resurfaces and pops up or I see something that reminds me of them, if there's, you know, coming from a good place, if I want to engage in that conversation, I'll definitely reach out. So there was never a chance she was going to shake me for life. So I could see a, just like, hey, hey, yeah. Girl, hey, what you doing?
And also at that point, like, our lives were very intertwined with friends and, you know, we were, even if we needed a few months of just a breather, there was not a question for me that we were going to keep being friends. But I don't remember exactly how it all came back together. I don't think either of us wants conflict.
No.
And we never had
a big,
like...
why we walk and all of our discussions are side by side. No eye contact.
No eye contact.
Exactly. We just look straight ahead.
Walk.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's actually how they train you to have hard conversations.
I think the motion...
side by side.
The motion helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
all right. One word. How would you describe the relationship if you had to give it one word?
Oh my, that is a good one. I know. Let's see. One word, I would say relentless is what came to mind.
Relentless?
Yeah, because
that's not positive.
Yep. Relentless friendship. No, I'm just.
But it is.
It was bringing too much ride or die energy where I'm just like, yeah, where it's kind of okay. And again, that I can't reiterate enough how grateful I am that it would have taken one time when you're like, hey, Jordan, you ignored me, blew me off, like I'm feeling all this stuff, that I'd be like, how long do I have to earn my way back into your good graces? So forgiving, I think, would be my stike. Yeah, very forgiving, because I've said some stuff.
I love that you guys actually say it how it is. You know, that I think that that's one of the things that really bonds people, is that you're actually willing to say the hard part of the conversation. And so that's where the question came in my mind, is how does that really cultivate? How do you get back to things like that? What's the one word that you'd use to describe it? Not letting you off the
steadfast.
That's like relentless, but like so much better.
That's a better.
That's like clarity is something I struggle with. I think I've mentioned that. So I mentioned to Stike when I picked her up at the airport. I was like, you know, we made a joke on the pod the other day about how it's not so funny that I have a tendency to hurt your feelings.
My feelings.
JT's feelings.
Yes.
Every day. And I'm like, and again, it's physical reaction where it's like, oh, I bruised his little baby heart right there. And I didn't mean to. And so I'd like to just know, Rachel Stiker, how many times have I hurt your freaking feelings?
I don't think you've ever hurt my feelings.
It's just too good. I definitely have offended many, but not it. Yeah, I usually will apologize quickly.
I mean, we've probably like been annoyed at each other over the years, but feelings hurt. I can't think
of a time you hurt my feelings.
No.
Except for like the little, like, I just wanted you to go out. I offered to pay for everything, you fun hater.
Yeah.
Like that would have been a very...
why
youthful.
Won't you come out on a Tuesday night to the Antler House?
Yes, the ant. We hung out at a place called the Compound.
The Compound
and
was
the
a thing.
Antler House?
Yep.
Ha ha.
Tits and cheese.
Tits and cheese. Oh my God. There are so many. Yes. Many memories.
Would you guys say your personalities are similar or different?
Compatible. But I think we're I have friends that are much more like me, but I think you inspire me. Like, I've learned so much. Like, you are a horizon broadener. Like, I'd never taken up getting my own motorcycle, but like, that's not something that's, you know, that's usually like you kind of hang with that crew. And so I love that. Yeah.
But I think we're both motivated, again, honors floor, and wanting to do things. We have aspirations. We have goals. We're not, you know, we're social, but in different ways. And I think we're different, but, Yeah, compatible hits a nail on the head.
Yeah, I said I love, we've gone on little getaways where I'm like, if you're reading a book and it's just the two of us on a trip, I feel so much love in that moment where I'm like, she good. Like, she's so happy. She needs nothing from me. And like, just our being together. And that's a super neat place to finally reach.
I actually think we've become more similar over the years. When I was younger, I was a little more angsty, or, you know, I did hate fun.
Amsterdam is what comes to mind as a personality. What about personality differences? Amsterdam, we went on a very, again, college, so we have no money. I booked us a hostel. I am so sorry, but I'm pretty sure there were 30 people in our room.
In one room.
I never took my shoes off.
The bathroom was disgusting.
Yep.
Didn't use it.
So there was a personality difference that I just love on that trip. You ended your trip with tulips, but we went to Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, yeah. Amsterdam, college, you know, there we're going to imbibe.
I think everybody has the pass.
And I don't really do weed.
So, that's right.
The only natural choice was to eat an entire weed brownie and drink a weed smoothie at once.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, incapacitated.
She was not... Yeah, not capacitated at all. It was the most hilarious, and also where it was like, it was hilarious to the point of like, it's been like 45 minutes because it was great. She's like, I need to be somewhere I'm comfortable. And I was like, I will move mountains because that's the pits if you're feeling icky. And so Haagen-Dazs, yay, America. So we get a table and I'm just like, oh my gosh, look at these. We got flashed by dudes in kilts. There's all this stuff. And she goes, what about doing a little more walking? No walking.
I can't walk.
Okay. And so we're sitting back down and I'm just chatting away and then it's no talking.
I can't talk.
And so we are
uncomfortably
in Amsterdam,
high. Jordan, I'm uncomfortably high.
I have a jump rope smile. I am so, and that's all she said. Jordan, I am uncomfortably high. I am uncomfortably high. And we can't go back to our hellhole of a safe place.
Because we also don't know how to get there.
In the middle of the red light. Yeah, our street, we tried to pronounce things.
Oostenstraten.
Oh, I wish I had that on tape. Wow. It was a very wholesome trip. We did churches. We did stuff.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting to the end.
Aww.
I would love to know from you guys, I think your relationship is so special and so unique, and it's not everyone's lucky enough to have a great friendship like this. What advice would you give to anyone, maybe particularly girls, who want to build this kind of lasting friendship?
Ooh.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. I think be brave, because it's so easy if you kind of, have that one great bud. That's incredible, and invest in that friendship. But I think that being brave, because you never know when you might have just that perfect little, you know, even if your interests aren't all the same, but you may have this amazing new, and even if that friend introduces you to the next one. But I think I have to encourage myself a lot on the, because I usually, the introvert in me is like, I've got Stike, I'm good. I got girlfriends, I don't need any more, you know. But I also think it's incredibly important that it's a two-way street. It is a relationship. And work is the word we use in like a romantic, which we both kind of, about, where I think that it's an investment of energy. Like, I want that person to know that I care, and I also count on them for being there for me. And so I think that taking stock of your, like, so-and-so's working really hard and I've kind of been, you know, shuffling them off, like, maybe you let that friendship go, or maybe show a little love to who's giving you all that kind of care.
What do you think, Stike?
For me, I was, you know, again, coming from high school where I didn't have a lot of girlfriends that I felt like I could rely on. I'm not a very touchy-feely person physically and emotionally. And so being vulnerable and open to female friendships was not something I was necessarily ready for. But over the years, I've become more open to friendships, meeting friends, and just, giving it a chance. Like you're saying, to be brave about, okay, I'm going to meet this person and let's just try this out from, kind of dating, but friendship. Yeah. And I think just giving friendship a chance. I don't know. That sounds cheesy, but that's kind of where it, for me, like not putting up boundaries and letting that be a little more open, a little more touchy-feely. I don't know.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to me for your girls to witness in us that we chose each other. They have this built-in awesome sister moment, but this is and how we maintain that. Like, I am only behaving this way because now I'm setting a good example. Yeah. And so
that's the only reason.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this. But no, it is truly an honor from the bottom of my piggy, my talon crusty feet, that it is just absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad you let me just ignore all your boundaries on our very first chat.
Thank you for having me.
This is, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. You guys are special.
It felt good.
I think that this is a really cool thing for people to listen to because, again, I'm envious. I have great friendships, but I don't get to see them as regularly. And I'm learning that, you know, I need to put in some more effort possibly. Mm. I need to be a little bit more open. You know, that's what I'm really taking away from this conversation is that you guys tell each other the hard things. When there isn't someone else that you feel comfortable going to, you have someone that you can actually go to and say, hey, I'm having this problem and I don't need you to do anything about it. I just need to tell someone. That's really special. Truly.
Wingman. Yeah.
Wingman.
And not that we were hunting for validation, because God only knows we didn't need it. But if this conversation could inspire, like, oh my God, I heard Jordan and Rach say this, like, that made me miss so-and-so, and this leads to one phone call or one plan, like, you know what, we're going to do a girls' trip. Because I will say, big fans. We had to skip a year, and it's not going great for me. And so, yeah, fine. If there's a way to, and your boys are doing a little, like, cabin December kind of group thing. And so I think that's really special if you can, yeah, call, pick up phone, text somebody.
Absolutely.
Because likes are not friendships. That's contact.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm not against it. But yeah, there's more to it than that. Yeah.
Have the conversation.
Oh, baby, you are worth it, Stike. JT is as well. But
well, guys, we should close this out. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I am JT.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Rachel Steiker.
I love it.
Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.